are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, the time is 10:47 and we have Joan Royfi on the line. It's not Yolanda Rudman. I was supposed to talk to Yolanda. Let me clarify this. I was supposed to talk to Yolanda Rudman because my script here, it's written Yolanda Rudman. And yes, we do have Joan Royfi on the line. She will be talking about. She will be talking to us about the same topic of the day: mental health awareness, personality disorders. What are they, sister? Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Oh, yes. It's Joan. Okay, how are you? Sorry, my bad. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you. Or let the producer know, Kirsty. That it will be me because Yolanda was unfortunately called away on other business.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. So let's get into it without any waste of time. It seems like we have run out of time already, but it's okay. We need to have a conversation about this important topic of the day.
All right.
Right. So we are talking about personality disorders. What are they? So personality disorders aren't just quirks or bad attitudes. They deeply rooted mental health conditions that affect how people think, feel and behave, often misunderstood and mislabeled. These disorders can significantly interfere with relationships and day-to-day lives. Today, we are diving into the basics. What are they, where they come from, and why understanding them matters. So the question is, what defines a personality disorder and how it is and how is it different from other mental health conditions?
That's a great question. So it's personality disorders are a type of mental health condition where a person's patterns of thinking, feeling, behaving are significantly different from what we would generally expect. And these patterns are usually very long-lasting, and we see signs in adolescence and early adulthood. And as you said, they cause significant problems in relationship, daily life, work, virtually all aspects of the person's being. Mm. The thing that sets them apart slightly is they're usually more deeply rooted in a person's overall personality, meaning that they affect how a person would relate to the world and other people. A nice way to look at it is most of your other mental health disorders or conditions like your PTSDs, OCD, and so forth. Right. It's something a person has, if I could call it like that.
Mm.
Whereas personality disorders make up of who a person is.
Okay.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, it significantly affects it. It's, you know, one of the things that people think is that these guys are trying to be difficult, that they looking for attention, and this is truly not the case.
Okay.
These can develop, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, a little bit more, but they can develop from early life because of life experiences, traumas, and of course, genetics plays a role.
And what are the main types of personality disorders as classified by professionals?
Okay, this is a bit of a mouthful. all right. So we get three main clusters, we call them. We get A, B, and C. And so we have odd or eccentric behavior. I'm going to quickly go through the main parts of it. Otherwise, we'll be very long. So we get personality or paranoid personality disorder. This is where a person is very distrustful and suspicious of others.
Mm.
You get schizoid personality disorder. This is a person is very emotionally distant and prefers to be alone. Excuse me. You get schizotypal personality disorder. where a person has kind of odd beliefs, and this is usually a person that dresses differently, let's call it that,
right,
and behaves in unusual ways. They, a lot of the times, not all eccentrics, but we might point at them and say, oh, that guy's quite eccentric. So that's cluster A. Cluster B, we call they dramatic, emotional, and they have erotic, erratic behavior.
Right.
This is where you have your antisocials. They ignore the rights of others, so their inner holding themselves back and setting inner boundaries is a challenge for them. You get your buzzword, which everybody knows, borderline personality disorder, whereas these guys have intense emotions. The relationships are usually quite unstable. They fear abandonment. They have problems with impulsivity, and they struggle with their self-image. You get histrionic personality disorder. These guys crave attention and act very emotionally. They're easily influenced by others. You get your narcissistic personality disorder, which is like another buzzword I hear a lot these days. Overly self-important, needs constant praise, little empathy for others. And then we get to cluster C, which is your anxious, fearful guys. These guys worry and fear, especially around in relationships. So you have avoidant. They are very shy. They fear rejection. You get dependent. They rely heavily on others. And then, of course, you get your – this one, I just want to point out, you get what we call obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, not to be confused with obsessive-compulsive disorder. These guys, they do need order. They do have a need for control, and they strive to be perfect, but it's not OCD.
Okay.
And yeah, as I say, that was quite a mouthful.
So a person that makes everything about them, like them, they make everything about themselves, should we say they have a personality disorder?
If you know, under the umbrella of talking about personality disorder, as I say, you do have the narcissistic personality disorder. You have, if we talk about personality disorders in general,
right?
To some extent, yes. So, but again, not all. You know, there are things like narcissists. They do exist,
okay.
And that's not necessarily so much so of the disorder side. You get people who are just plain old selfish. It's just something they learned. So not always, unfortunately. I can't give you a definitive, you know, 1 through 7 answer.
Right.
But it, under this umbrella, we can say that there's a possibility of personality disorder, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. And how do childhood experiences or trauma contribute to the development of personality disorders?
You know, there's, again, quite a range. And again, I want to point out that genetics do play a role. But, you know, and it's unfortunately most of the ones I'm about to mention are a big, big problem in our country. When a child does not grow up in a safe and stable environment with a stable bond with their, shall we say, caregiver, be it mom, dad, both, whoever's taking care of them, that becomes a problem already. When there's an unstable or abusive or neglectful or even inconsistent environment or experiences, they struggle to form healthy relationships and trust others. So there's that. We know that a very large percentage of our kids today are growing up without mom and dad, or especially without dad. Trauma and abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. These kids often develop and see the whole world as a place of danger. And you can only imagine how that might feel. They become untrusted. They don't trust anyone. They see themselves as worthless. If this is not caught early on, this becomes very ingrained in their personality. It's how they see themselves. And And then, as we've mentioned, we get these effects, neglect or lack of emotional support. Same story. You know, if there's no emotional support, there's no validation. I want to take it one step further, and I say this, you know, off the cuff.
Right.
Even where you have kids that are constantly compared to others.
Okay.
They might not become or develop a personality disorder, but it's very detrimental. You know, the very well-known line of, why aren't you more like your sister? See how good she is. Why aren't you better? That kind of thing. Anyway, it can create problems with self-identity, mood regulation, social interactions. In short, you know, with any and all relationships. Even where kids are pulled from one place to the other, you know, different foster homes every month, different places to live every month, that can create a form of insecurity and a lack of control. So, you know, it's all about the stability of how a child is raised and also the bond that they have with their caregiver. Not everyone who has a difficult childhood grows up with a personality disorder.
Right.
There are many factors that play a role, but the ones that we've just mentioned can definitely lead to it, or at least be a contributing factor.
Yo. To our listeners at home, we are speaking to Juan Royfim. We are looking at personal disorders. What a powerful conversation. If you are a parent at home, please make sure you don't compare your children. Like John has been saying, we don't have to compare our children. That itself can destroy our children. So, John, why is early diagnosis and intervention so important for effective management?
Well, you know, with almost every illness, be it biological or mental, anything that we catch early can definitely have a big improvement on how we deal with it and eventually how we cure. But in the case of personality disorders, it gives that person such a greatly improved quality of life. It can prevent long-term struggles. It will improve their relationships. As we mentioned just now, you won't have the distrust. You won't have the constant need for validation and so forth. It will reduce the risk of developing other mental illnesses such as depression and anxiety, even substance abuse, things like self-harm. With education and treatment, when a person understands themselves and what to look out for, they can become very self-aware and they can learn the necessary coping skills that can literally lead them and help them through life. So that their outcomes in life, their school life, their job, their work life, their relationship life, all of that will be greatly improved if this is caught early, educated early, understood early, and where that person has the necessary tools to deal with it and to know what they need to do to help themselves.
Powerful one. Last one before I let you go, John. How do cultural beliefs and stigma influence how we talk about or treat personality disorders?
You know, this has in some ways become my favorite topic, in the sense that if we can get rid of stigma, we can save a lot of people. The thing about stigma is that it prevents so many people from seeking assistance and seeking help. Excuse me. Especially within different cultures and different aspects of society where you know, it's seen as a sign of weakness. A lot of our indigenous cultures, we don't even have an understanding of what mental health truly is. You know, the normal label of, oh yeah, no, that person is crazy, or they're just looking for attention, or as we said earlier, you know, it's picked up in childhood, so you might be seen as a naughty child.
Right.
They don't know that the person is ill, and the maybe not so much the stigma, but sometimes because of the stigma, there's a lack of education.
Right.
And so the education simply doesn't happen. And if the education simply doesn't happen, then, as I mentioned earlier, those coping mechanisms, they are just not developed and they just aren't there. And again, you now have this person going through a life of difficulty.
Mm.
Yes, because they were seen as different or not, or abnormal or naughty or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So we can get to a place where it's okay to be at least aware. It's okay to educate. Not to say you've got it, not to say it needs to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If we can start being open and honest about these things, knowing, at least knowing about them, and stop making it a source of embarrassment, then so many people will receive the help they need. So many people will be able to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe I'm a little different, but that doesn't mean that I'm a weirdo.
Right.
So the long and short of it, education, being able to be open and honest about it, and so that it's not a source of embarrassment anymore. The moment we can take away that embarrassment, people will seek assistance and they can have happy, healthy lives.
Mm.
Which is not the case at the moment.
Sure. Thank you so much, John, for such a beautiful lesson, a powerful one. Thank you for your time and have a beautiful day ahead.
Thanks, you too, and I'll speak to you again on Wednesday.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.